Okay, I'm just going to share a little bit about myself. I know Liz has already shared a little bit. But I'm married to my wonderful wife, and I thought my wife did really well because, you know, to be fair, my wife was completely out of her comfort zone. She doesn't like talking to people, and it is quite nerve-wracking, to be fair. But we have 6 children. I'll just give you a little bit of background to myself. I was brought up as a strict Roman Catholic, forced to go to church as a child, and then rebelled when I got to a teenager and never went near a church for many years. Until I met Liz and we got married in the Methodist church, I became a Methodist local preacher. I went to Cliff Bible College for a year. And then we came out of the Methodist church. We felt led to a New Frontiers church, and I became an elder in a New Frontiers church, in a new church plant in Northampton. We now have an open heaven family, Gavin and the Lizard, and you know, we own, or we're stewards really, of a camping caravan site in the Lizard. We weren't looking for any kind of business. We were just came down to Cornwall just looking for a house with a nice garden. But God has different plans, doesn't he? Okay. What I'm going to speak about tonight is something that we're all familiar with in some way, shape or form. And that is suffering. None of us like to suffer. But you know, Jesus suffered incredibly for each one of us, that we might know the love of God. And that's what we sung about just there, that he suffered so that he could take our suffering and release us and release love and joy and peace into our hearts. That's how much he loves us. You know, the world, well, Helen Keller said this, the world is full of suffering. It is also full of overcoming it. So there is hope through suffering, even though sometimes, you know, we think, how is this all going to end? How long can I put up with this suffering? But I just want to speak briefly. I'm not an expert on suffering, and I don't pretend to be. But I want to talk about 3 areas of suffering that I feel are relevant. One is self-inflicted suffering. The other is caused by individuals directly or indirectly. And the other form of suffering is beyond our control. And so, for example, self-inflicted suffering might be the use of illegal drugs. It might be smoking heavily or excessive overeating. It could be many things. The suffering that's caused by others might include physical violence, theft or damage to property, sexual abuse and so on. And then there's other things for things that are out of our control relating to suffering, such as earthquakes, death of a loved one, being made redundant, etc. I want to read a text to you from the book of Hebrews. And it's chapter 2, verse 10, if you're making notes. For he disciplines those he loves and punishes when necessary everyone whom he has accepted as his son. So you can regard the various hardships you have to face in a positive way, as discipline. God is dealing with you as his true sons. After all, every good father disciplines his children. If God did not discipline you, then you would not be his true son or daughter. You would be spiritually illegitimate instead. I want to just share with you something of the suffering that we have been through. And I'm sure maybe some of you here may have even been through worse, I don't know. But we have been delivered from 3 of those forms of suffering in some way, shape or form. One was self-inflicted. and that relates to smoking. And many years ago, I used to smoke quite regularly, probably 20 cigarettes a day or so on. But by some strong encouragement by Liz, I packed it up. It was one of the best things I ever did. I could breathe better, I had less chest infections, I could taste my food better and so on. So that was a form of self-inflicted suffering that, if I continued, would have some detrimental effect on my health. And so I was very grateful for Liz, but I exercised my free will at that time. And so I'm thankful that I've never touched any cigarettes for 20 years or more. The next was physical violence. I experienced as a child growing up, my dad was very authoritarian. He came from a background where his father or my grandfather used to go out at night, used to drink quite heavy, come back, smash the house up, get all the children up, and there was no money left as well for food and things like that. So he was brought up in an environment like that with four other siblings. And so when he was bringing me up, although he didn't drink heavily, he had a bit of a violent streak. And he used to mistreat me, and for quite minor things, used to really lay into me. So much so that I became very fearful of him. And, you know, I was living in constant fear, felt absolutely trapped. To cut a long story short, I was actually made a ward of court and taken out of the family home to put in a children's home and spent a couple of years there, of which I might say I was quite glad because I felt safe. And so it didn't really affect me too much. But as I grew up, I grew to resent my father. I grew to have a lot of bitterness and anger towards him, and I just cut him off really, and didn't want to have anything to do with him. And also my mother, who was a very submissive person, also I cut her off as well. And so I lived like this for many years, and had very little to do with them. That was until that day when we were in Scarborough at Easter People. We both met with Jesus in different ways, and the Lord transformed us from the inside out. But I can tell you this, He spoke to me and led me to my father, to my mother and father, to forgive them. And I went along not knowing what to really expect, but I went along to meet them, and I shared with them that I felt that the way they brought me up was wrong. However, they felt it was right in some way, and I told them, the Lord told me to tell them that I forgive them, but also that I love them. And at that time, I didn't know whether I did or not, but I was obedient, and I just went along and said I forgive them, and that I love them. And it didn't go down too well. There was a bit of a kerfuffle. However, after a week or two, it settled down. And not only that, but I felt a huge weight lift off me that I wasn't really conscious of. And that freed me up to actually engage with my father, who didn't or couldn't show any affection towards me. And therefore, we just had no connection really at all. However, for the next 4 or 5 years before he passed over and went to be the Lord, we had such an amazing relationship. I never thought possible. We were hugging each other, telling each other we loved each other. We were praying together. We were sharing the scriptures together. We were going out together. And it was like the Lord had actually speeded up everything in that period of time that I'd missed out in my childhood. And I'd actually accelerated it. And so it had a huge effect upon me and upon my mum and dad, and the family actually. And so that was something very unexpected, which I thought would never happen. We were completely at loggerheads. Another form of suffering that we faced not all that long ago, sadly, was the death of our son. He was 20 when he died. He committed suicide about 4 years ago. Was it about 4 years ago, wasn't it? And we found that extremely difficult, as you might well imagine. However, leading up to his death, he was a drug addict, and although we loved him, and he had, he was quite a talented young man. He was in the theatre, he had a great voice, he could act really well, and so on. He had many talents. However, we lived on an almost daily basis with him, in perpetual forgiveness, it seemed, because of his extreme outbursts of behaviour, which were very emotional, and sometimes quite violent. But that wasn't just, I wasn't at the receiving end of that only. Liz was, and the family, because it affects the whole family. And so this went on from when he was 13, when he started on drugs, and went right through to age 20. And it was a very dark time. If we'd known how long we had to face that almost torment, if you like, I don't know whether we could have. We carried on with our church. We got a lot of support and love and help and prayer, and we're constantly praying for him to get delivered from drugs and so on, so that, you know, he could be free. However, it didn't quite happen that way, and so on the actual day that he died, early hours of the morning, I had a vision, a dream in the night, and I saw him in this dark corner, and he looked at me, and he said to me, "Dad, will you pray for me? Because I know when you pray for me, it will work." And I said, "Yeah, sure." And then all of a sudden, I woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and wondered what was going on, only to find out a few hours later the police were at the door to tell us that we found your son dead. And so you can imagine, it was a big shock. It was almost unbelievable. But we carried on the best way we could, and at the funeral there were many, the church was absolutely to overflowing with some people that he knew as drug dealers and so on, who were there out of courtesy, I suppose, more than anything else. However, there was a word given there, and I believe that it would have received something from that service. But, you know, the important thing I want to highlight here is the grace of God and the love of God. Because although I had that vision, I was still hurting very much inside. My heart felt as though there was a gaping wound there. And it came to after the funeral, and I just felt this awful pain. And I cried out to God, and I said, "God, you have to do something. I can't carry on like this and go through the rest of my life feeling like this." And I felt this huge wave of love and peace come over me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Your son Simeon is absolutely fine. There's nothing to worry about, and there's nothing to fear." And that for me was a great relief, to know that he was safe with the Lord. Incidentally, he gave his life to Jesus when he was age 8. And so, you know, we believe he is with the Lord, and, you know, he's obviously taking care of him until it's our time to go. And to meet him also. But you know, that's just our story. And I'm sure you've got stories to tell about your own personal suffering, whether it's caused by others, or you've caused it yourself, or it's just beyond your control. The important thing to realize, though, is when you're in the thick of it, you are not on your own. Everything challenges you to say that you are, and that you're the only one going through this. But I can tell you that God knows every single detail of our lives, and knows how best to give us the support and love and encouragement that we need to go through. Most people would try and avoid suffering some way, shape or form. I'm not a great, you know, fan of suffering. However, you know, God gives us his grace to take us through. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how fearful it looks, no matter how painful it is, God's grace is sufficient to carry you. If you will let him, he won't force himself on us, but he's always there waiting for us to call on him. I just want to read something else from the scriptures. And this is about the Apostle Paul. And if you've read anything about the Apostle Paul, he went through a lot of suffering personally himself. And I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 12. There are times when we seem to be surrounded by insurmountable problems, but we are never crushed or defeated by them. At times, we are thoroughly perplexed about why certain things happen to us. But we never despair. We are persecuted for our faith, but God never abandons us. Even if we are sometimes struck down by some adversity, we are not destroyed. For when we suffer in our bodies, we share in Jesus' own passion and death, so that his risen life may also be revealed through our bodies. While we are in the world, it seems that we have to die continually to self for Jesus' sake, so the life of his spirit can be revealed through our natural bodies. This process of death is at work in us to enable God's life to be at work in you. I want to just tell a little story here of someone else. A person called Horatio Spafford in the 19th century. Anybody heard of that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul"?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the story behind this, but I came across it not that long ago. And this young man shows true faith, hope and courage. And I thought I suffered quite a lot. This man was a wealthy businessman. He was a prominent lawyer. He was a devout Christian and a loving family man. And this was in the 19th century. He was also had some real estate in Lake Michigan in the United States. However, there was a fire that took place and he nearly lost all of his money and wealth. But not only that, he lost his son, a five-year-old, to scarlet fever. And then he said to his wife, he got four daughters, he said, "We need to go on a journey. And I'd like us to go to England." And so he said to his wife and four daughters, he said, "You go ahead of me and I'll join you a little later." And they took the journey, but sadly that boat had a collision and it sunk within 22 minutes, taking over 235 people. There was only one survivor, and that was his wife. And so she contacted her husband, who then said, obviously he's going to come straight over. And he came over, but while he was on the boat that was sailing over, he asked the person who was sailing it to pull into the area where this tragedy took place. And as they got there, he went down into the hold and started to pray. And that's where he penned that famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." How can you say, "It is well with my soul," in such tragedy, such suffering, such grief? Because in that grief, pain and suffering, there is a God who loves us. And yes, we question why and how. How has this happened? Why should it happen? What have I done to deserve it? And more often than not, it's usually not something that you've done. But it's something that God wants to do. And sometimes God can't do it any other way other than through some kind of suffering or adversity in order to change our hearts in some way. Now, I don't know why it had to happen that way with our son. We love and miss him every single day. I don't think there's a day what goes by that we don't think about him. However, we have the comfort and reassurance that he is safe and well. And God is with us until we have to leave this earth. You know, Jesus was made perfect through suffering. And I just want to read a scripture here, also from Hebrews. It's chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now Jesus in his humanity was made perfect. Jesus was fully God and fully human. So he fully identified with us as human beings in our suffering. And through his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, he was able to deliver us through suffering. Not necessarily out of it. Of course, he can deliver us out of suffering, but he can also deliver us through the suffering, which is important to realize. It's called the divine exchange. I just want to read you one more scripture, and it's from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. And it says, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. This was written by Isaiah the prophet hundreds of years before Jesus went to the cross. And it was completely fulfilled. Jesus bore our sicknesses so that we could be healthy. Jesus carried our pains so we can be pain-free. Jesus was wounded or pierced through for our rebellion against God so we can be fully accepted by Father God. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities so that we can be free. Jesus was chastised for our peace. Jesus was wounded through blows that cut in so that we could be healed. I wonder tonight if you are going through some form of suffering in your life right now. I don't know what it is. It might be because of your own bad choices or decisions that you've made, or it might be the cause of others, or it might even be something completely out of your control. Whatever it is, God is able to deliver you and to take you by the hand and say, come, come with me. Know me. Know my love. Know my healing in your life. Know peace in the midst of adversity. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. Whenever there is trouble, he is always present to help. Call on me whenever you are in trouble. I will rescue you and you will know me. And Jesus also said in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, all these things I have told you now, so that by trusting in me, you will be able to maintain your peace. In this world, you are bound to experience trouble, but you do not need to be downhearted about this, for I have already defeated the world. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father God, you know each one of us here this evening. You know what's going on in our lives. You know every detail about us. And even though we might be living in unfaithfulness, we might be living a life that is not true, a life of deception, of deceiving others and even deceiving ourselves. But you still choose to love us. You are there for each one of us, waiting and knocking on the door of our hearts, waiting to be invited into our lives, that we might know the love of the Father. So help us this evening to be able to receive that love, that strength, that grace, that freedom that we so crave and desire. And help us to understand that nothing is impossible with you. So we give you thanks for your word tonight. We give you thanks. There is victory over adversity. O death, where is your sting? Death has been swallowed up. Jesus has defeated death. He has risen from the dead. He is alive. And we thank you for the victory that you have won for each one of us. And right now I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to play a song, and God willing, it will play. And it's no accident that it's called It Is Well With My Soul. It's not the original, but it's sung by a lady with a beautiful voice from Bethel Church. And during this song, I want you to listen to what the Lord is speaking to you individually, and to respond to him, because that's what this is all about. It's about knowing him, the Lord of all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is able to do more than you can think or imagine, according to the power of God that is at work within you. So as this song plays, if you feel you need some prayer for something this evening that you're going through, it may be some healing that you need in your physical body, it may be absolute turmoil that's gone in your life. I feel there's somebody here, there is a family problem, it's been going on for many years, with a child, I believe it's a daughter who you've been estranged from. There's been no contact there, but the Lord wants to restore that relationship. He wants to touch your heart about it. And he's going to heal that relationship. He's going to restore back that which was lost. So I don't know who that's for, but that's what I feel in my heart. It's for someone here tonight. And someone else, you've got a problem with your back. You've had pain in your back, down the middle of your back for some time. The Lord wants to bring healing into that back area, and to set you free from any infirmity that you're experiencing. Someone else has got depression, And the Lord wants to set you free from that oppression, because the Lord hasn't given you a spirit of heaviness, but a garment of praise. He wants to lift that off you. But if there's anything else, what anybody else has here, don't miss this opportunity. It may be that you don't even know the Lord. It may be that you've been going to church for many years and heard about it, and you admire people who've got faith and gone through many different trials and sufferings, but not really known Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This now is your opportunity. Don't miss it. Because God loved you so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're going to pray this song right now. And if you feel you want prayer for anything, or you want to meet with Jesus in some way or encounter him, if you just make your way over to that area over there, that's open space, and there's going to be a prayer team over there waiting for you, and we'll pray with you. Okay? Is that all right? Okay, so...